T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Overtime, Scott Jackson with you here, 106.7 The Fan, streaming live on the free Odyssey app. You can hit us there as well. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. You can always tweet me at Jackson Sports. Talking about the Commanders, certainly have been on a heater, been playing well. Most of this... outside of one game, that Bears game, has been with Taylor Heinicke under center. 5-1 as the starter. He, you know, has been a big difference maker in terms of this team's psyche. I think you have to say there are things, I say this often, you cannot measure on the PFF formulas, which I think drives a lot of guys crazy about the impact he has on the team. That being said, there are some deficiencies that have, you know, creeped up, in particular in the Vikings game, and could have hurt them this week. Luckily, did not. But at some point, you know, in these games, each week the leverage, the meaning, higher leverage games, more meaning. They're really in a playoff race right now. They're going to mean more. So with Wentz, if he gets healthy, will they have that temptation, if need be, in game or maybe the following week, if they find themselves, you know, losing game or two, would they make the change back? Or do you think they need to be ride or die with Heinicke at this point the rest of the way, you know, barring injury, obviously? 800-636-1067. So the big deal, again, the most infuriating thing about watching Carson with the Commanders this year was a couple things in those first six games, was the drifting into sacks. And, you know, I know that, look, they threw for 56 more yards passing than they do with Taylor, but they also, like, threw the ball a hell of a lot more. And some of those are boosted up by a couple of games. But, man, he had 23 sacks in six games. And you can say, oh, the offensive line's better. Now, that's fair. But some of it, again, if you go back and watch, you know, in particular the Titans game, where he's kind of drifting into it, holding the ball too long. But 23 sacks in six games, and over the last six games with Taylor, just 9. Now, granted, I just told you they're running the ball more than most teams in the league, and they're actually running it well, which has helped them in winning time of possession. I don't know if they could replicate the formula with Wentz, but I do know that the Colts did something similar, or tried to last year with him in Indy, and had some degree of success, right? Like, again, their best games, he didn't do as much. Now, you know, you go back to the whole, like, and this is more of an off-season conversation than right now. You're like, well, is he worth that for, you know, the money you're paying? Of course not. You know, I mean, of course not. You know, I think we're all, I think we should all be on the same page with that. I mean, I guess, is there a world in which he took a tremendous pay cut and you'd bring him back to compete next year? Okay. We could talk about that, I suppose, in the offseason. But, you know, right now, while you're in the fight, while you're trying to get in, you got to, you know, like, you got to, it's a full 53-man roster. If you're active, you know, you got to be ready to play if need be. I'll be curious to see if he's the number two this week or if they stick with Sam Howell as the two for a few more weeks. All right, you know, at least to the bye, I should say. All right, 800-636-1067. What I'm also curious about, because we don't know, because the practices, of course, are not open, is how many snaps Sam Howell actually gets, if any, with the first teamers. I mean, you know, do they? I would hope to think by now they have a package they would feel comfortable with if he had ever gone to a game, if something happened to Heinicke, but, you know, we won't know until we get to that moment, if we do. All right, let's get to Andre and Manassas. Andre, thanks for waiting. How you doing? You're up here on Overtime.
Hey, Scott, I'm doing well. You know, it's funny. I've been waiting 30 years for this team to win, and then they finally start winning, and people are arguing about how they're winning. I guess that's why they call us fans. You know, to me, at the end of the day, you know, I think all I do is I listen to 106.7 The Fan. I'm not on Twitter, so sometimes I hear all this controversy, and I'm really wondering where it's coming from. It can very well be a Twitter thing. I'm just not on it, so I don't see it. But
well, I mean, I think if you listen, you just kind of like the way Ron Rivera tabled it from day one wasn't like this was some proclamation like we're doing this for the season. It was like, yeah, this is week to week. You know, he's our guy this, you know, going forward. And, you know, but he wasn't like, yeah, he's definitely the quarterback for the rest of the year. It was never that. You know what I mean? And now, obviously, here are you guys available once again, or could be available, because, again, I don't know if they're going to promote him this week or not. I do think you can see some, you know, a little bit of leakage in some of the things they're doing. I mean, it's cool that they keep winning this way. If they can keep doing it again, there's no conversation. But I'm just, you know, again, thinking ahead here, and I'm sure they have thought about this as well. I don't think this is something that just came up out of, you know, that nobody else has thought about over there that gets paid big bucks.
I think Ron would be the order of his duty if he did actually come out and say, Taylor's my guy after watching. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Taylor has, you know, there are definitely some holes in his game. You know, it's funny. I think it was Jonathan Allen that said this when I was listening to his when the Junkies. I think he said he doesn't want the word potential in him and the defensive line to be in the same sentence, because ultimately that means he's not doing his job.
Sure.
They're not, you know, you know. So for me, as a fan, I would much rather have the overachiever at quarterback than the underachiever, the guy who has not reached his potential being in the league after 6 years. And I think that's why, you know, maybe some of the teammates gravitate to Heinicke.
Yeah.
Is there an option, you know, can the team perhaps do better if Wentz was in? Probably, but then that's potential. And who's to say, are they going to continue running the ball as they did? You know, the temptation. Can a $25 million quarterback come in and say, okay, I'm going to be a game manager now? Is that within
his
DNA?
Well, again, that's what they tried to do with him last year in Indy, and it worked for a little bit. But then, obviously, when they needed those Ws, it didn't work at all. But, no, I mean, I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying to you, but at some point, if they struggle, right, to the point where they're in games where they just, you know, teams take away the run from them, for example. If teams are able to shut down their run, I mean, do you have a whole lot of confidence? I mean, there might come a moment, whether it's in game or the following week, if you need a game and you're like, this has been sputtering the last few weeks. They got to show some improvement. Big picture, in my mind, you know, get to Giants again this week. I mean, they've had some favorable matchups, teams to throw on, and they haven't done it for a couple weeks. It concerns me. I mean, the Eagles game, they threw it well enough. I was like, okay, cool. You know, that's fine. But, like, the last few weeks, I does concern me a little bit. And I go back to that Vikings game where that was a terrible secondary. And then I saw Mac Jones light him up, and I'm like, oh, dear Lord. And the Patriots do not have guys on the outside like the Commanders do. I mean, they don't. They don't have those kind of skill players. And that's why. Those guys are getting, you know, they're kind of getting cobwebs here these last few weeks. But anyway. All right, man. Thanks for the call, Andre. Let's go. I mean, look, I hope they don't have to worry about it. I like to see them keep winning. I'm not, again, bitching about the style points. I'm just saying there are some signs here that, you know, there could be some trouble ahead if they don't improve it with the forward pass. That's all. All right, Joe in Rockville, what's happening?
You know, I agree with the guy that just called. I hope Carson Wentz doesn't play another down this year.
Right.
And what I think is, I think it's instead of everybody criticizing this kid, Heinicke, I think if he got a little bit of backing from the guys on radio, I think he must hear everybody's always ragging on him. I think if they just get behind the guy, he's doing a good job, and just let's see where we go. I think he's doing a great job, but he just needs – I think the guys on the radio are always ragging on him, and I personally don't like it. I think the guy's doing a great job. So.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Hey, look, I went to my school. I love the kid. I think it's great. But you can't be – you got to be blind if you haven't watched the last few games and said, geez, I mean, is that a good decision? Is that a good decision? I mean, there's been a lot of that, right? Joe, I mean, first of all, this guy's thrived on being the underdog. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Everybody's going to throw rose petals at him suddenly. I don't think that's going to help him. He's thrived on being the underdog. And I hope to God he's not listening to radio. Or on the interwebs. I mean, get off Twitter. Didn't anybody hear John Allen's interview a few weeks ago? Get off Twitter. I'm with him. Get off of it. I'd love to do that. I wish I could unplug it forever.
Love the encouragement for this guy would go a long way.
I don't think so. Thanks.
Thank you.
I mean, we're not, you know, again, he's got, you know what? He's got a college coach that's there for him. I know that for a fact. He's got teammates that are there for him. I don't really think it makes a damn bit of difference what a bunch of people on the radio are talking about. I really don't. I'm sorry. I don't take this format that seriously. I really don't. I don't believe it. And again, nobody's saying take him off the field right now. I'm saying, are you ride or die? And Clary, you are, and Andre are, and that's fine. But there could become a moment where you might have to see Wentz again. Could be. I'm not excited about it either. I'm just saying, you got to be all hands on deck. You cannot close your mind to like, no, we're just doing it this way or else, because you're trying to get in. And Rivera's, look, he's trying to get in the playoffs. He wants to get in. He's close. He can taste it. He's feeling good about himself, and he should. They've stuck with him. They've stuck with him. But they didn't go into the season thinking this is the way they're going to get there. If they did, then you really got to question some of the moves they made, right? Like, then why'd you even bother bringing Carson Wentz in, you know? You should have gone, you know, more of a safety kind of quarterback and just let Taylor battle for it. They didn't think Taylor could do it, obviously. They never gave him a chance to battle for it. Reggie and Reston, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. I think I'm pretty much on the same route in terms of the caller, Andre. Two things that stick out for me when it comes to Heinicke. Number one is the psyche. What it's done to the teammates, to the locker room, it's totally different. And then the other thing that sticks out for me is momentum. You can't look at the stats and find anything with momentum. The momentum that Heinicke has given this team is incredible, and I think they just have to run with him for now. Mm-hmm. We've got Carson if we need him. If we need him, roll with him. But
that's the point.
I think it's a good point. But Heinicke's doing the job. He's getting a W. So who cares how ugly it looks? It's a W.
No, again, I'm not a style point person. But what I'm telling you is, there's going to come a point in time where they're going to have to actually put the ball in the air a little bit more. And, you know, hopefully he can do it. Hopefully he can deliver. I mean, look, a few years ago, you know, you think about that Tampa game, right? Like the first real taste in the Carolina, but before that, a lesser degree. I mean, he was winging around, you know? I mean, and they were throwing the football, and they were less talent around him than there was now. And, you know, it's funny because some of the spin last year when he was kind of struggling at the end of the season was, well, they don't have enough talent and skill guys around him. Well, he's got plenty of skill people. They got more skill people than he's ever had in his life around him now. Between, you know, the backs, between the tight ends, between the receivers, but it hasn't taken a step forward. And I think we're just, you know, we're blinded by the result, which is awesome, but you got to be fair and say, hey, has he taken a step forward as a passer this year? And no, he has not. And I, again, love the kid. Think it's a great story. I love the story. I'm not saying bench him, but what I'm telling you is I haven't seen the improvement there, even though they have the pieces. And that's what concerns me moving forward here. And again, this week may not matter. I mean, Giants are kind of beat up. You know, looking at their stuff this week, their secondary, you know, season rankings, I think, you know, not great. You know, they're actually a team you can run on. You know, you can move the ball, you know, in the air on them as well. More so of a running team you can run on, which is great. I mean, because that plays right in this team's strength. I just hope we can get Daniel Jones under wraps, because that's been a problem in the past. But, you know, I don't know if you can go out to San Francisco and think you're going to bludgeon them, for example, on Christmas Eve. Hopefully. It'd be cool if you could. But that's the kind of team eventually you're going to run up against in the postseason. But the NFC is not that scary. Yeah. What's that?
My question, though, Garoppolo went all the way to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Did he improve his passing game?
No, he's gone backwards, actually, but they didn't get the Super Bowl since then, have they? I mean, but they got to the championship game last season, but he's much better than Taylor. Let's be real. I mean, come on. Let's be honest with ourselves. Seriously. He's better.
I agree.
Yeah, he's better. I mean, come on. I mean, he would have been, let's be honest, if he didn't get surgery, he'd be here right now probably. Or he would have been he would have been the guy they were gunning for. I mean, had he not had surgery, this team would have gone after him. And by the way, maybe they would next offseason. Who knows? I mean, I heard, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I think Taylor reminds me a lot of, although I think Ryan had a better arm, obviously, say this. And he goes, you know, they're going to find a reason to go look for somebody else this offseason. Plus, by the way, Taylor's a free agent. He doesn't have to be here. Although I think he would probably prefer to be, but, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll have options. We'll see. All right, thanks for the call, Reggie. Thanks for good talking to you. Thanks for being reasonable. I mean, again, it's, you know, people get very touchy about the questioning the underdog story. I mean, again, love the story, but what I'm saying is, if you think that this is, I mean, which direction are they trending in terms of an offense? Are they trending up or down in terms of throwing the football? I mean, they're trending down, obviously. At some point, they're going to have to do that at some point. I hope he's ready to deliver. Again, I thought last year, there was a stretch where he was really good, and then he kind of dipped, and then he jumped back up again. And then at the end of the year, I mean, they had like – team was, you know, falling to pieces due to injury and whatnot. And COVID, if you remember. All right, Chase Hughes at 7:30. The top 25 college football playoff rankings are out right now. And, boy, if you're a Michigan fan, you pray to God this is the way it stays. We'll get to that coming up. It is Overtime. Scott Jackson with you here on 106.7 The Fan and streaming live on the Free Odyssey app. All right, back here on Overtime. Scott Jackson with you here on 106.7 The Fan. Streaming live, always on the Free Odyssey app. All right, college football today, the bowl standings came out again. The latest playoff standings were unveiled prior to championship weekend. Number one, Georgia, obviously. They will play LSU this week. I actually do not think there is a formula in which Georgia will not be in the playoff. Even if they were to lose in their championship game, just can't see it as strong as they've been at 12-0 this season. Michigan is now number two, followed by TCU, and then USC, who has jumped into the top four, making an appearance after the Buckeyes lost and LSU lost. Now, here's the goofy thing. Ohio State dropped the five. I mean, when you get your butt kicked as bad as they did on your home field, I mean, it should be a lot bigger punishment. I'm sorry. Alabama's right behind them. So it would take a lot for Alabama to get in this thing, because I know a lot of people are scared, you know, that they're gonna rise back up and get in there, roll damn tide. But it appears that it would be a huge chaos day for that to happen. I just don't see how Georgia can fall out. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, LSU's lost three games. I mean, to fall that far would seem extreme. TCU plays Kansas State. I know a lot of people have that earmarked as a potential upset. There, Michigan, I don't think will lose to Purdue, but it would be funny if they did. But so right now, as things still stand, it would be Georgia and USC playing in round one, and Michigan playing TCU, which is a much better matchup than they had last year when they had to play Georgia and they got flat out humiliated down there in the Orange Bowl. So that seems to be, you know, again, I guess there is a world in which, you know, Ohio State could weasel their way in this thing if TCU were to lose. Because they're the next team out at this point. So one of these teams goes down this weekend. That could happen. Now, here's the other question. Like, what if, since Michigan is a clear number two right now, what if they lose to Purdue somehow? Would they fall just a four? I mean, you can't put Ohio State in over them. Maybe we saw the humiliating, you know, head-to-head. I almost feel like Michigan, the worst they could do would be a four, and then, you know, their punishment would be most likely to play in a 13-0 with Georgia. Again, assuming Georgia's not undefeated. But, hey, there's a world all four of these teams could lose this weekend. Maybe it's a bizarre world, but it's a world. I mean, they're all playing. Because USC plays Friday night against Utah, the team that beat them. The only loss they suffered this year. But this game, obviously, is on a neutral field. And that was a 43-42 game way back in October. It was a long time ago. But USC, I mean, their defense is not anything to write home about, but their offense with Caleb Williams, obviously the Gonzaga product is terrific. I mean, he should win the Heisman. Don't see how he doesn't win the Heisman, but anyway. Unless there's that old East Coast bias thing going, who knows? All right, we're going to take a timeout. Chase Hughes is going to join us on the other side. We're going to get into some Wizards. We'll get back to some Commanders discussion later. I'll say this, man. People love Taylor Heineke. That's cool. And When you just open this can of worms, people get so angry. They don't want to hear the deficiencies. It's like, no. They won, and that's fine. But again, we could get to a point in this season where it's more than just what you did in the past. You're going to need one, and you might, you know. And if he's not hitting open receivers, they might have to make a difficult decision during the game. Ron Rivera already talked about how he, for years, thought about the idea of, you know, basically sticking with the hot hand, which he did. I'm sure he's also played out this other scenario in his mind as well. Or if he hasn't, he probably should. All right, Chase Hughes next, Washington Wizards insider for NBC Sports Washington. We'll get the Rui update, talk about the unicorn, and good season for the Big Three, but What is the ceiling for the big three of the Wizards? We'll get to that coming up with Chase, get his thoughts on it and what they may or may not be able to do prior to the deadline to improve this team. It's overtime. Scott Jackson, 106.7 The Fan, streaming live on the Free Odyssey app. Back here on Overtime, Scott Jackson with you, 106.7 The Fan, and our pleasure right now to talk some Wizards with Chase Hughes from NBC Sports Washington via the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, be the books. Download the BetQL app today. Chase, good evening. How are you, sir?
Good evening. My favorite football team has won 6 out of their last 7 games, so I'm doing great.
Let me ask you this, because we were talking about it earlier, and people get very touchy when you bring this up. Bart, are you ride or die no matter what? You're riding Heinicke all the way to the finish line, or are you also maybe, or are you like, in the back of your mind, willing to maybe have to make a difficult decision if need be before the year's over?
Ooh, I mean, to the finish line, that's a tough question, but I'm not looking back. I mean, he's won five out of his last 6 starts. If you go back to last year, it's I think it's 9 of 13 that he's won. I don't know how you overlook that. Obviously, you know, when he goes out and throws for like 150 yards and they win, you don't feel like it's because of him, but I wouldn't rock the boat. I keep it rolling.
All right. Well, I'm just saying if you lost a game or two, you know what I mean? And then you're like, oh, boy, we're running out of time here. What do we do? What do we do? You know, if you get to that crossroads moment, you know what I'm saying? Or in a game where you're down.
Yeah, 2 in a row, you'd have to start thinking in those terms. But 1 loss, I think he's earned the right to at least have one of those.
I got you. All right, no, I'm fair. That's fair. I months ago, before we got here, I was like, you can't play Carson Wentz 70% of the snaps. You can't do it. Now we don't have to worry about that, I don't think. They've had so many snaps, I think it's mathematically out the window now. But
no, that's a great point.
All right, let's get to the Wizards. All right, Kristaps Porzingis, the unicorn, a career night, 41 last night as the Wizards beat the T-Wolves at home, which has been the good place for him. We'll talk about the other place for him away from home here in a minute, because that's where they're going to be for a big stretch coming up. But it's been good to see him on the court, right? I mean, this has always been really Kristaps Porzingis is fine if he's available. And that's been, kind of an important thing, because he hasn't always been available. But, since he's been here and when he has been available, I mean, he has been as good as advertised or as good as they hoped, hasn't he?
I mean, he's been really, really good. He's only missed 1 game this year out of 21, and that was against the Dallas Mavericks, where he had a groin injury that we didn't hear about until after their practice the day before. And, it was against his former team, so there were some conspiracy theories that maybe he didn't want to face his former team. But other than that minor blip, he's been healthy, and when he's on the court, he's a really good player. And, I did this story in the offseason, looking at, just set aside the durability concerns. Like, how good is he statistically? And if you look at his career numbers, he's one of only 10 players in NBA history to average at least 17 points, 8 rebounds, and 1.5 blocks per game for their careers. And the other 9 guys are like Kareem, Shaq, Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, it's a who's who of all-time greats. So he's that type of player. And of all those 10, all the 10 players that have averaged those numbers, he's got the highest 3-point percentage. So obviously there's a lot more than just the numbers that he's put up. He's got to stay on the court for more than 50, 55 games a year, which is pretty much what he averages. But when he's out there, he can get to a level that's basically unstoppable, where he can score 15, 20 points in a quarter, or last night 29 points in a first half. And that's why I've said that I think he's the best scorer that Bradley Beal has ever played with, because Beal has played with some really good players, some really good offensive players like John Wall and Russell Westbrook, who could lead the league in assists, but neither of those guys could score in the volume and with the efficiency that Porzingis can. And the fact that he's a center and all the other stars that Bradley Beal has played with before have been guards, so they were in the same area of the court, I think gives the Wizards more balance to their lineup. So you're seeing right now, I mean, he's an all-star caliber player when he's healthy.
Yeah, no doubt. And that, of course, brings to the question, I mean, he's going to have the opt-out at the end of the season. I mean, do you think they're ready to pay him like that kind of player?
Well, if he keeps it up and stays healthy, then I would expect him to opt out and be able to earn a long-term contract, whether it's here or elsewhere. I think it all depends on where they end up in the standings. Whenever there's a question about, like, will the Wizards keep this guy? You know, whether it's Kristaps Porzingis or Kyle Kuzma.
Right.
I would just point to the fact that, like, say what you want about their success in the standings over the years. They've been really, really good at keeping the players that they want to keep. Like, that's been the case for Bradley Beal, you know, who has gone against the grain of what a lot of other NBA stars have done that pertains to John Wall, and also other players like Otto Porter and Davis Bertans. Whenever they have put their sights on keeping a player, they tend to do that. So, you know, if they want to try to keep both Porzingis and Kuzma, then that could get really expensive. But if they choose one of those guys and really want to keep them, then I wouldn't bet against them given their track record.
Yeah, I mean, that's the rub, is we're here with Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington, with us via the Becky Well guest hotline. You know, both those guys are having really good seasons, right? Kuzma and Porzingis, you know, but how what is it going to mean for the Wizards? Because right now, you know, they're not in the top four even. So, you know, and obviously we got a lot of, we're only a quarter way through the season. You know, they're the seven seed as we sit here today. So if that doesn't get you more than like the bottom part of the East or even in the middle, I mean, you just wonder if they're going to feel like they could use that money elsewhere and make the team better as opposed to, you know, re-signing those guys.
Well, first of all, those guys have been really good, and so is Bradley Beal. I mean, all three of them are averaging 20-plus points per game this year, which has never happened in franchise history where three players average 20 or more. And all of them are shooting efficiently, and they're all bringing something else to the table. You know, Kuzma and Porzingis are rebounding. Porzingis is blocking shots. Beal's averaging about 6 assists. So statistically, all three of those guys, it's basically been a best-case scenario. And you know, there's been some context that needs to be pointed out. Like, Beal's turnovers have been an issue. Kuzma's sure. Not shooting all that well from three. And, of course, you know, Beal has missed some time due to injury and due to COVID. But if they can carry those numbers over the course of a full season, I think you just kind of have to trust the process and think that they're going to be pretty good. Like, if those guys are on the court and they're all averaging 20 points a game efficiently, the Wizards are probably going to be pretty good. Now, what's been missing so far, I think, has definitely been the depth that they thought they were going to have going into this year. Their bench has not performed up to what they thought it would be. The starting lineup has been very good overall, but the bench has really lagged behind. And I think in part that's because of injuries. Like, DeLon Wright was supposed to be a really important part of their bench. And also, whenever there's been an injury in the starting lineup, you know, Bradley Beal or Monte Morris, then there's a domino effect there where they've got to promote somebody, and that takes their depth away from their bench. But Will Barton's a guy who I think could play a lot better than he has so far. So we'll have to see over time if the Wizards can build a good bench. You know, when Rui Hachimura comes back, and maybe Will Barton can play to his career norms and play defense. And I think that'll determine whether they win. But if you're just looking at those three guys, then I do think it's a pretty good foundation that they've got moving forward.
We're talking with Chase Hughes here at NBC Sports Washington with us here on Overtime 106.7. The Fan, Scott Jackson with you. Chase joins us via the BetQL guest hotline. All right, so the defensive part. Man, they talk a lot about defense, and that's no different than a lot of seasons. But then you get some of these performances, whether it's the game of Boston, the Thunder game, and you're just scratching your head going, what the heck's going on here? Because you know they want to play defense. You know the coach talks about it. You know, the guy, you know, they have people that put a lot of effort into it. What has it been? Is it as simple as, yeah, guys in and out of the lineup? I mean, how do you see it, and how do they see the way they can improve in that area?
Well, there has been sort of a dichotomy to their defense where their paint defense has been very good this year. And I think Porzingis deserves a lot of credit for that. And Kuzma, you know, deserves credit for that. And I think Daniel Gafford, even though his minutes have fluctuated, he's been pretty good in the backup role, defending the rim. They have not been good at defending the three-point line. So I think that's been an issue for them. It's kind of like last year. They were pretty good at defending the three-point line, but they couldn't really defend the rim, and they gave up too many points in the mid-range. So they just haven't been able to put it all together. But that's where I would point to, is the three-point line. And you know, Monte Morris and Bradley Beal, you could probably look at them first when it comes to that, because they are generally on the perimeter defending these guards. But I do think Bradley Beal's had a pretty good season defensively. He's drawn a lot of praise from Wes Unseld Jr. So I think just collectively they need to be better at defending threes. But, yeah, certainly some of the defensive performances have been great. And then some nights they just have a bad matchup, you know, whether it be the Celtics with their athleticism and their three-point shooting, or, you know, the game before that against the Miami Heat where Bam Adebayo, as good as Porzingis has been defensively this year, he just could not stay in front of Bam Adebayo, and their pick and roll with him and Kyle Lowry was basically unstoppable. So I think what you would hope for from the Wizards is that, you know, these highs and low lows just mean that overall they're going to come out to be at least a pretty average defense, and that the rough nights that they're having aren't more indicative of what they actually are.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at their differential between home versus road's been fascinating, right? I mean, this is you know, whether it's the shooting, I think you pointed this out the other day in one of your stories, was their three-point shooting is really poor, you know, is it at home? Am I got that? No, it's on the road, I'm sorry.
On the road, yeah.
On the road is really poor versus at home, which I guess, you know, okay, home court advantage, but still, it's a weird swing. So, as they, and I think, what is it, 17 of the next 23 or something like that on the road? Is that what it is?
Well, at this point, it's 14 of the next 19, but they're in the middle of a stretch where it's okay. 17 of 23 on the road.
Gotcha.
They just played a few on the road. But, yeah, those numbers were pretty interesting when I looked at them, because I asked a bunch of players last night, Wes Unseld Jr., like, you guys are 8-4 at home, you're 3-6 on the road, you're about to play a bunch of games on the road. How do you find more success away from D.C.? And they all kind of said it was a mindset thing, but also pointed to the defense. But if you look at the numbers, it's really been their offense, because pretty amazingly, they're allowing the exact same number of points at home and on the road, but they're right. Scoring fewer points because they're shooting a much lower percentage and making a lot fewer threes. They're actually dead last on the road in both three-point percentage and three-pointers made, when at home, they're like 6th and 7th in those categories. So it ends up being a pretty big difference in terms of points. It's like 5 threes a game, which is like 15 points, right?
Yeah, it's a lot, yeah.
It sounds a little reductive, you know, and especially in this day and age where, yeah, we all know the three-point shot is important. It's like teams live and die by the three. But in this case, I don't know how you ignore that it's pretty clear that when they're on the road, they only make like 8 threes a game, which is a very low number. And when they're at home, they make like 13, 14 threes, which is a pretty high number. And if you make that many, you're going to be a good team if you look at, you know, the win percentage of teams that make that many, you know, in a given game.
All right, we're here with Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington, Wizards Insider. All right, before we let you go, just your thoughts quarter of the way through. We're 21 games in. What is the high watermark for this team in terms of the Eastern Conference? And, I mean, I think they're a playoff team. I don't think that's too bold of a statement, but how good of a seed do you think this team could play themselves into?
You know, I think it's my expectations are similar to what they were going in, that they could probably be in that 6-8 range as currently constituted. And we've seen, you know, when Porzingis is healthy, they're a pretty difficult team to stop offensively, but their defense leads to some inconsistency. The depth has been a little bit of a surprise to me, but I think that 6-8 range is where I'd have them right now. I think they can make the playoffs. Now, I would point out that they'll have an opportunity at the trade deadline to level up from there. And
Yeah. We've
seen Tommy Shepherd do that in the past. You know, I thought he did a good job last year at the trade deadline by getting Kristaps Porzingis for Davis Bertans and Spencer Dinwiddie. And I thought he did a good job at the trade deadline before that when he got Daniel Gafford, and he obviously made a huge difference. So I think if you're in that 6-8 range and you get to the trade deadline, that's a situation that you'll take if you're the Wizards, because you have an opportunity to improve, whether it's then and there or right. In the offseason. And that would represent still a pretty big step forward from last year. And I think they're just trying to make progress in the right direction. And so far it looks like they are doing that.
Yeah, that would be, you know, like, I guess Barton would be an obvious guy, right? Like, he would have some value because of where his contract is in terms of the open market. I mean, because you're not going to mess with the frontline guys, but you're talking about bench players or maybe one of these young players, you know, whether it's Rui or Denny or I don't know about Kispert. But, I mean, that's what you're thinking of, like, when you're talking about making a move at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, Rui is in a contract year. Will Barton's in a contract year. Right now, it doesn't look like, you know, the greatest situation for Will Barton. But also, if you think you're going to make the playoffs, then you should feel pretty confident that that first-round pick you traded for Russell Westbrook with John Wall will convey, because it's top 14 protected. So if you feel like that's going to be going out the window, and then, you know, that makes you feel a little bit better about parting with a future first-round pick, you know, maybe that could enter their thinking.
That's a good point. All right. Hey, Chase, man, enjoy it up there. I know you got the game tomorrow night in Brooklyn, right? Are you on the road?
Yes, I'll be up there.
Nice. All right, buddy. Hey, appreciate your time, man. Have a good one. Good talking to you. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely, man. Anytime.
All right. There he is. Chase Hughes, NBC Sports Washington, via the BetQL guest hotline. Yeah, I mean, the Wizards, they've had these weird swings. Like, he was just talking about home versus road, but some nights they look brilliant. And you feel really good, and they're like, oh, crap. But I will say this. I mean, the defensive thing's weird because it is a three-point issue, like three-point line, defending the three for sure, right? I mean, that has been the biggest problem for them. Because in a lot of the other measurements in terms of defense, they have taken a pretty good step. But, man, they, you know, I mean, and if you don't, you feel silly because you're talking so much about it over these last couple seasons if you don't get better there. But I don't know. You know, 6-8, I don't know. Do you keep a 6-8 group together? I don't know. That core, I mean, this is where it would get fascinating. And just because, you know, you quote-unquote don't pay these guys doesn't mean you're going to go out and spend that money in free agency. And this has never been a great free agent market, unfortunately. It's a shame. I don't know why. It kind of drives me crazy. It should be a place where free agents want to play. They should be able to attract free agents. But it's really the best stuff they've done has been via trade. You know, and sometimes in the draft, but, you know, the draft picks, they've been coming home to roost lately either. Been a while. All right. Coming up, we'll get back to some NFL stuff before we break at the top there. We're going to Ben Raby at 8. We'll look ahead to the Caps and Canucks tonight, which we'll be bringing you here right on your home of the Capitals. 106.7 The Fan, 945 The pregame show with Ben, but we'll talk to him at 8 at the top of the hour here on Overtime. Scott Jackson with you, 106.7 The Fan. All right, it's Overtime, 106.7 The Fan. Coming up, we'll talk Caps with Ben Raby. Top of the hour. Appreciate, again, Chase Hughes jumping on with us. Always good talking to Chase about some Wizards. Quarter of a season already. Things move fast. Things are moving fast. I mean, hockey's almost a quarter of a way as well. No, they are. They're past the quarter. But what am I talking about? They start before the NBA. They're 23 games in. Are the Capitals 24 games? 24th game tonight. Obviously, Capitals have not been the real picture of health to start the season, as we know. We'll talk about that with Ben. You know, when will help be on the way? And you know, as things stand right now, they would be way on the outside looking in. So, stuff to talk about coming up with our friend Ben Raby. All right, let's get back. Felipe has been waiting, waiting to get on the air. We're going to grab him before we get to the top air. What's happening, Felipe?
Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking my call, Scott.
You got it, buddy.
I just wanted to get back on the Heineke thing. You know, I know that you're kind of wondering where the tension's coming from, and the way I see it, there's different camps, you know. There's people like you and a lot of people at your radio station that are rooting for Heineke, but they think this is all kind of fluky or that he's, you know, not the guy. Then there's another camp of people who actually think he's good, but there's a leadership intangible that is just kind of being glossed over by everybody. Everybody knows. Somebody who's in Heineke's camp, I can see that he's not very good. It's not even about how he plays football. It's about the impact that he has and the effort that's being given by everybody else. And there's a dirty little secret in Ashburn that nobody's talking about and nobody can talk about, and that is that the players are trying harder for Heineke. None of them can admit it. Nobody wants to talk about it because that's just something that – I mean, Jonathan Allen wants to say it, but he can't say it. Nobody will never hear it, but he's a dirty white boy that they relate to. They like the way he plays, and that's not changing. It will never change, and everybody should just get on board and stop trying to question it. It's not that difficult. They're playing harder for him. It's not a coincidence that the defense is playing better now. It's not a coincidence that the running game, they started using it, but it's affecting everybody. Scott Turner likes it, too. The trainers, the fans, it's been since the Sean Taylor era, maybe the RG3 year, that we've had this much energy. Everybody just get on board, man. That's all I got for you. Thanks for picking. But go ahead. I'll keep talking.
I think you're on to a little bit of something there. Although I'll say this. Look, I think, you know, Brian Robinson's healthier now, right? I mean, and there's other guys that are healthier too. I mean, Trey Turner was a shell of himself to start this. He shouldn't have started this season. He didn't, and it was by accident. He had to start this season. He was thrown in there due to injury. I think they have played better. There's still not a great offensive line, but they're better. They're definitely better. I loved what Scott Turner did with the three tight ends this weekend. That was terrific. That was absolutely terrific. I mean, they just have more relation. I think the problem I have is I think this always comes off like some, you know, like Philadelphia Carson Wentz story. But it's not. It's just that they just have more history with this guy. You go back to 2020 when, you know, really the quarterback position was hopeless. You know, and I'm not trying to drag people that aren't here anymore, but you know what I'm talking about. It wasn't good. And he came in and gave it life after not even being here more than a week and a half or whatever the hell it was, right, when he has to come into that game. And then, you know, plays terrific in the playoff game. Then literally the next year it's a quarter and a half, he's in there again, you know, looked like, you know, they put all their eggs in the Fitz magic and it never got off the ground. Played very well, had some down weeks, played himself out of it. I think there's just history there. I mean, and he knows the locker room, there's no doubt. And are they playing harder for him because of that? Is it the defense stop being stupid because of that? I don't know. I think guys have improved. I think that, you know, look, man, Derek Forrest has been a freaking monster. You know, I mean, Cam Curl already was, but you put Derek Forrest back there. I mean, and quietly, you know, Bobby McCain, who people, you know, kind of crap on all the time, has been really good. I mean, he has been really, really good for them as well. So I like that combo. You know, the two D tackles have been terrific, one of which is trying to get paid. Let's not forget that. That's been cool as well. Yeah, man, he gives him a spark. There's no doubt. There is no doubt about it. Doesn't mean he can't play better, though. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm asking for. He can play better, right? He can play better. That's all. All right, coming up, Ben Raby. We'll talk Caps. They can play better. They're not playing well. But they got a chance tonight. Our buddy Bruce Boudreau. I love Bruce Boudreau when he was here. One of the funniest, fun guys there was to coach the Capitals. So we'll get to that next with Ben Raby when he joins us here. It is overtime. Scott Jackson with you here on 106.7 The Fan, streaming live on the Free Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.